Scripture reading is from Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he said to them, to Jerusalem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let me start this morning with just a little bit of personal information. I'm just not into astrology. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was as thrilled as anyone that we got the Bethlehem star the other week, right? I didn't actually get to see it in person, but even so, I can't deny that there was just something really special and uplifting about having just a little extra light up in the sky as we approach Christmas time, right at the end of a really hard year, too. That doesn't mean I believe in astrology. There are people I know who do, though. I thought of them this week. And actually, some I've known who even seem to specialize it. They're even experts, you might say. I was reminded this week of an old high school friend I used to have who's actually devoted a lot of time to a website all about astrology and the inner workings of it, with a whole lot of sentences like this one, for instance. "The moon will move deeper into Cancer and square Mars and oppose Pluto and eventually Jupiter and Uranus in Aquarius," which is one of many lines that made absolutely no sense to me. But apparently, this person told me, it meant that last Wednesday was going to be really stressful for everybody. But getting lost in all that, I found the monthly horoscopes. I know what a horoscope is, and I know what I'm supposed to be. And so I looked up my monthly horoscope, which told me to always take friends along whenever I embark on a new adventure in the coming months. Now, I'll say it was these sentences were very easy for me, the astrology skeptic, to completely ignore. For one, last Wednesday was not all that stressful, at least for me. And honestly, I'm prone to ignore any advice that tells me to do anything with my friends in the next couple months. That just seems very unsafe still. So I had no problem, after kind of exploring this for a little bit, just closing my browser, wishing my friend well, and moving on to other seemingly more productive lines of research. Unfortunately, for me, the skeptic, I can't quite get away from astrology that easily, at least not this week. I mean, it's one thing for me to ignore stuff on my old friend's website. It's a whole different thing to ignore Scripture. You know what I mean? And you heard today's Scripture passage straight from Luke 2, where it talks about how the Magi, or the wise men as we know them, how they use astrology to find the baby Jesus. Now, if you're into astrology, like my old friend, you have no problem with that, I'm sure, right? If you trust your daily, weekly, or monthly horoscope, I imagine you have no problem at all trusting that a star led the Magi to Bethlehem, to the manger, and to Jesus. But let me just point out here that Luke, who wrote the gospel, he would have had a problem with that. And honestly, so would every Jew in the first century, because astrology had no part in the Jewish faith. They were not astrologers. They did not look to the heavens. They looked to the Torah, God's word, to understand things. It wasn't part of their faith. And so the question for Luke, who faithfully recorded the Magi using astrology to find Jesus, the question for Luke and his readers, who were largely Jewish, and for all of us, whether we buy into astrology or not, is why did it work? I mean, why would God allow something that he had told his own people was false to help these pagan astrologers find God's own incarnate self? Why did it work? Now, the answer that you commonly hear from that, the answer you've heard me preach in previous years, is that God was drawing the Magi to the manger as a symbol that this Christ child was for all people. Jesus was born for everyone. And that is absolutely true. This Christ child was born. It is good news. He is good news for all people. But you know what? This year, while true, that's just not a good enough answer for me. Because, you know, if God wanted the Magi to find Jesus, God, being the all-powerful God, could have done it all sorts of other ways. I mean, God sent angels to the shepherds, after all. In fact, God would send an angel to the Magi by the end of the story. Why not send an angel in the first place? Just have an angel tell them to go to Bethlehem. Or God could have spoken to them directly, right? I mean, the Magi belonged to a religion called Zoroastrianism, but Zoroastrians, they believed in a God not entirely unlike Israel's God, so presumably they would have listened to a divine message. I mean, it could have worked. But no, God didn't do either of those things. See, it turns out God didn't just want the Magi to find Jesus. God wanted the Magi to find Jesus by means of astrology, something they deeply believed in, but that God's own people, by God's decree, didn't. And the fact that God was both able and willing to do that, it's actually something I find really comforting right now. You see, as we enter 2021, one of the biggest, hardest realities we are dealing with right now is just how much we disagree. You have a sense of what I'm saying, I assume. I mean, you all just spent time with family over the holidays, either in person or video call or at least the telephone. I hope you had that ability and privilege. And I got to ask you, what were those conversations like? I mean, I assume most people were probably on the same page about most things, but I guarantee you, there was at least one person, assuming you were brave enough to invite them, who always seemed to disagree about, well, basically everything. Now, what they disagreed about and what they were saying, the things they believed in, that probably varied on who they are and what family you belong to. It just varies depending on what group we're talking about. You know, they could have been someone who subscribed to fake news, or perhaps alternative facts. They could have been a conspiracy theorist, or perhaps a victim of deep state propaganda. They could have been spouting a liberal agenda, or perhaps some alt-right misinformation. Right now, it doesn't much matter. You know who they were. And you know just how hard they were for you to talk to. And sometimes they're even scary to talk to, aren't they? I mean, you look for points of connection. You look for things you can agree on, something that you can share. And it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. Even if you find it, it's going to stick you. And it's not just holiday relatives. I think you know that too, right? It's everywhere now. In fact, this trend has been growing steadily for about 50 years, actually. Many of you may still remember, way back there was a day when most people's nightly news came from the most trusted man in America, Walter Cronkite. Every night, there it was, just laid out. As simple as possible, the facts of the day. And even when the news was hard, and it often was, at least people agreed that it was the news. I mean, Cronkite's tagline said it all, didn't it? Some of you can say it with me at home. And that's the way it is. You may like the news, you may not like the news, but at least everyone agreed that was the way it was. That was then. But even during Cronkite's era, see, something was growing, something that scholars have now termed postmodernism. Postmodernism, it started in the 60s. Some of you remember that too. And it started there as movement after movement questioned previously trusted people or institutions or assumptions, often for the first time. It was a decade of questioning, of challenging. It came as the civil rights movement questioned the privilege our culture afforded white people. It came as the feminist movement questioned the power of men in government and in business and in the home. It came as the free love movement questioned sexual morality, as the anti-war movement questioned the government's actions in Vietnam, and as any number of religious movements questioned the church and the people that spoke in it. And what emerged from that decade was what we call postmodernism. What was, for many people, a fundamental assumption now that no one, no person or body had access to objective truth and therefore couldn't be trusted. No leader, no church, no government, no body. And that had consequences. Not all consequences were bad. Let's not be too hasty here. Some good things happened. For one, it's kind of true. You have to admit. I mean, even we Christians, we believe that God knows all things. But that doesn't mean any one of us does. I mean, it's true that no human being has access to objective truth. I mean, history itself is littered with examples when even we Christians have been wrong. Sometimes very wrong. And so it's kind of true. And good things have come of it. In the years since, that skepticism of authority figures and institutions, it has helped hold people in power accountable. That's a good thing. It's also helped those who, in previous eras, in previous years, hadn't had much of a voice. Any number of women or any number of people of color just weren't around the tables that were making decisions. Now their voices get heard, and that enriches all of us. There were good things that came of this and still are coming of this. On the other hand, as the years and decades have gone by, as postmodernism has grown and grown, there have been other consequences that are not so good. You see, at its extreme, postmodernism doesn't just say that no one person has access to objective truth. At its extreme, it actually denies the very reality of truth. And if there's no truth anywhere, then everyone's entitled not just to their own opinions, but to their own truth, their own set of facts. And they get deeply offended then if you ever try and tell them they're wrong. Which is why, After 50 years of this, just disagreeing with someone now can often make you their enemy. It's also why there are no Walter Cronkites left. Have you noticed that? Oh, there's no one with that level of trust anymore. No news anchor, no politician, no celebrity or scientist or pastor has that level of trust with so many people. There is no one left that we all agree is trustworthy. No one. Which is why the world we are entering as we start 2021, it's why it's so fragmented. It's why it's so volatile. It's why it's partisan to the extreme. And yeah, why it is so dangerous. And you can't deny, it is dangerous when one group, whatever that group may be, believes things so contrary to reality. Whoever they are, it makes them act in ways that make total sense to them, but is deeply dangerous to the rest of us. And so it is scary. It is scary to sit across a table from someone or on the other side of a video call from someone whose worldview feels so disconnected from the reality you know and, yes, is deeply threatening to the reality you know. But that's exactly why Epiphany gives me so much hope. This year, we need Epiphany, that realization that the wise men received of where Jesus was, that story of not just that the Magi found Jesus, but of how the Magi found Jesus. It gives me hope that God was powerful enough and humble enough to use what I, at least, and Luke, consider pseudoscience to help the Magi find the Christ child. It gives me hope for all the people I think are wrong. It gives me hope for that relative who's gone off the deep end. It gives me hope for every subscriber of fake news or alternative facts. It gives me hope for every victim of conspiracy theories or the deep state. It gives me hope for everyone who buys into liberal agenda or alt-right propaganda. It gives me hope for them. And it gives me hope for me, too. Oh, I'm not exempt. And I know it, too. I'm not immune to this. I know that I read articles from my feed that are not exactly rooted in facts. I don't know what they are, but I know that some of them must be. I know that every point of view I subscribe to is often rooted in what I wish were true instead of what actually is. I know that I believe all sorts of wrong things. I don't know what they are. I try and find out. I do. But I know they're there. I live in this 2021 world just like you do, and I'm just as fallible as anybody else. So it gives me hope for me. Because it turns out that just like the Magi, my God is powerful enough and humble enough to use all those things I believe but I shouldn't, all those things I think are right but really are wrong, all those crazy ideas in my head. Turns out God can use all that to bring me to Jesus all over again. To bring me to the manger where I can fall in love with God made flesh all over again. I can have an epiphany. Or not just my mind, but my whole being can be changed by a personal encounter with the Christ child all over again. So right now, at the start of this brand new year, which holds out so many promises for us and yeah, so many anxieties too, have hope. Have hope right now. Not hope that all those people will change their minds. No one seems to do that anymore. But hope that God can use all the things those people believe to actually lead them to the manger. Hope that God can use all those things you believe to lead you to the manger. Hope that God is leading all of us by our own roads straight to Bethlehem all over again. However strange and dangerous and even downright crazy we seem to each other right now, have hope that we will find each other as we all arrive at the manger all over again. It's Christmas. It's Epiphany. God is born among us, and God is guiding all of us to the manger. Whatever you believe. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we are all so very lost and confused, some more than others, and we can't agree on who. In other words, God, we're human. You know that. You made us. And so, God, I give you thanks that while you are the baby in a manger so fragile, so new, you're also the God of eternity, full of great power and yet great humility too. And that, God, you lead us. God, you guide us so often in spite of ourselves to the very place we need to be. God, thank you for being that star in the sky and the Christ in the manger to whom it leads. It's in his name we pray.